Welcome to Free Fire Radio. And now, Free Fire Radio is about to commence.
Good morning, North State, and welcome to Free Fire Radio. 7:05, December the 21st, winter solstice today, Carl and Linda Bott. Hey, our phone lines here are 605-4567, and we're streaming and chatting on KCNR1460.com. I want to throw out a big thank you to my friend Mark Beecham, who covered so ably yesterday. We were having a lot of things that we were having to get done, and Linda is still doing it today. So what happens when you plug in all these electrical Christmas lights? So that Santa is racing across the skies. There's reindeers dancing on your roof. There's twinkly lights everywhere. There's a bush. There's big round lights in the back. There's more reindeer. There's candy canes. And you've got 1941 wiring. Well, let me tell you what doesn't work. The back office, the laundry room, the one bathroom, the lights in the hall, one or two other outlets in another bedroom, and the outside lights going into the backyard. Now, everything else seems to be working. And are those little buttons, we call those buttons bad, Bob. You know what you push to reset?
London circuit breakers?
Yeah, no, it's not circuit breakers. It's ones
that, oh, the GFI.
The GFIs. Well, we've been plunking those. They worked.
It did
for a
job.
While. No, now they don't work. So, anyway, Linda's taking care of that this morning, so at least we'll have lights as we walk through parts of the house. And I am joined by Bad Bob. Good morning, Bad Bob.
And good morning. My first chance to publicly say thank you for a great party.
Well, thank you. Thank you. It was for our employees and our, our family. Our family here at KCNR. And the people that are doing our show, so it was a nice time, that's for sure.
Good to see everybody.
Yeah, well, it's good to see everybody. Okay, let's catch up on what's going on here. You know, the two things. Was, you know, on a sad event, they're going to have the funeral today for the young man Derek Simonetta from Central Valley, who was killed in Afghanistan, he along with five of his mates last week. And he's going to be buried at St. Gregory's Catholic Church in San Mateo. So it's our thoughts and prayers go out to the family on this. It's such a sad time. One other thing before we go into a break, and then I want to come back, I want to talk about something that happened over the weekend. I wasn't here yesterday to discuss it. Maybe it's old news. But I don't think so. The Christmas is coming. Now, Christmas is a day of cheer and happiness. Right, Bad Bob?
Absolutely.
Okay. But as we had Dr. Khan on the show a few weeks ago, heart attacks are very, very common, and Christmas Day is the biggest day of the year for a heart attack. So be alert, my friends. Chest discomfort, including pain, pressure, squeezing, or feeling a fullness in the center of the chest. That doesn't mean when your 50-pound grandson or granddaughter jumps into the air and lands on your chest while you're laying on the couch. That may not be the reason. These symptoms may wax and wane. Pain or discomfort that radiates to one or both arms, the back, neck, jaw, or stomach. Sudden onset of shortness of breath even without chest discomfort. A cold sweat, nausea, or lightheadedness. If you're thinking you're having an attack, call 911. Then chew and swallow a regular strength aspirin. Big thing. Call 911. Don't try and fight it out. Oh, this is just. I'm going to tough it out here, and then, you know, 50% of heart attacks don't have any warnings, according to the good doctor. Okay. On that cheerful note, we're going to take a break. When we come back, I want to talk just a little bit about don't ask, don't tell. It happened over the weekend, and I have some questions about it. So I am going to ask, and then I'm going to tell you what I think. Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Carl and Linda Bot, good morning. It is 7:13. Phone lines are open at 605-4567, and we're chatting, I think, at KCNR1460.com. We're chatting there, Bad Bob.
Chat room does appear to be operational. Okay. We see John on there.
Okay, I can't. Okay, I'll turn this around. Okay, hey, it's 46 degrees right now in the fair city of Reading, and we can expect scattered showers, cloudy with a high near 49. So we're going to go up a big 3 degrees. South-southwest winds between 6 and 8, 8 miles per hour. Chance of precipitation is 50%. It's 100% when I walked out this morning. Tonight, there's going to be rain. More rain. Wednesday, some more rain. Wednesday night, more rain. But it's going to start calming down. Thursday, good chance of rain. Thursday night, lower chance of rain. Friday, rain. Friday night, rain likely. Christmas Day, rain likely. But it's going to be a high near 50. Saturday night, rain. Sunday, chance of rain. Sunday night, chance of rain. Monday, what do you think, Bad Bob?
Even a bigger chance?
Chance of rain. You got it. Okay, now what else do y'all need to know about the weather? Grab your little oil skins. Grab your umbrellas. Put your little rubbers on around your feet and your knickers, and you will be warm and dry. So, okay. Don't ask, don't tell. I've been thinking about this and been discussing this with a few people. The don't ask, don't tell came under Clinton administration. He was kind of pushed into it by the Republicans because he had said, he had made certain statements. Don't ask, don't tell came up. He was hammered with it. He was pummeled. Don't ask, don't tell is, the military will not ask your sexual orientation. You don't broadcast it. And, I realize I've only got 30 years in the Marine Corps. And to me, the program worked. I don't remember anybody, and this could be just because my memory's bad, but I don't remember anybody getting out during that time frame under the Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Now, people will say there was, that some people were hunted down. I don't understand that premise. It never happened in a unit I was in. And if it did, it happened so quietly that nobody knew anything about it. So what did that do? It allowed people that sexual orientation was homosexual or gay to serve. Nothing was said. Nothing was said about it. You might suspect some of your people were. But you know what? I can't even remember thinking that. I just remember there were Marines doing jobs. And then people go, oh, they say that points out that this is why it should happen. Well, let's take a look at this. They did a survey. And if you remember what I said before, when I said that, I am not in the service any longer. And they're taking a survey, and let's just see what the survey says. But the one thing they should do is listen to their service chiefs. See, because this is not something I see happening, even if the survey said, survey says that to change it. This isn't going to happen overnight. And I said, people ought to listen to the service chiefs. Well, the survey comes back and you find out that, a majority of the people surveyed believe it's okay. Well, then you take a look at the survey. Surveys, first of all, are questionable because... What are the, how are they asked? Who would they give them to? Like this. If you give a survey that says, is the Turtle Bay Bridge useful? And you give it to, say, the people who oppose the Turtle Bay Bridge, you're going to get a different answer. Anyway, in this survey, they asked families. They asked a lot of people in the Air Force. They asked the question, should it be done? Or what kind of impact will it have if you do it? Not if it should be done. Well, they came back and said, look, we're right. They're ready. Well, then the service chiefs roll in there, the Army, the Marines, the Navy. And they said, wait, not so fast. Our survey shows that our combat troops, our special ops people, the ones out there, the shooters, and a lot of those combat support troops that are in close are saying this is going to be extremely disruptive. And here's the bottom line. when the politicians want to use the service chiefs, they will. And how many times have you heard them say, hey, wait, see what the services say. See what the service chiefs say before we make a decision. Well, the service chief spoke, said, don't do it now. 1,160 admirals, retired admirals and generals said, this is not the time to do it. We have two wars going on. We have continued deployments. We have multiple deployments. We've got all these things that are going on that are leadership. You know, these are all leadership challenges to keep these men and women up ready for combat. And what are we going to do? We're going to change. We're going to make a political decision that affects such a small percentage, a small, extra small percentage of those serving. And I'll tell you truthfully, probably those that want to serve. So we're going to change this. The service chief said, nope, this is not the time to do it. And what do? Well, we're going to change it. See, they use the service chiefs when they need them. Oh, yeah, I mean, their word should be obeyed. Well, obviously not. Or should be listened to, and we should respect it. Well, obviously not. When you get into the halls of power of the Senate and the House of Representatives, how many of them have served in the armed forces? How many of them have served in combat while on active duty in the armed forces? I'd say it's less than 10%, easily, less than 10%. And here's what's scarier, my friends, the people that work for them, they haven't been in either. So here's the bottom line. At a time when we've got a war in Iraq, and yes, we still do, no matter what Obama says, and we have an ever-widening war in Afghanistan, if you see that they've asked to start making attacks into Pakistan, we've got a political decision thrown to people that were vocal and that said, this is not fair. This is not fair to me. Well, the bottom line is what's fair to the guys that are pulling the triggers out there and the ones that are out in the lines. Did they say it should never happen? No. They said, let's just back off until we get our breath and we are not having to spend every waking moment fighting two wars. But that wasn't done. And so now we're going to have to divert money, and even more, manpower and leadership to make this work. And you know what? The military will attempt to make this work. I see so many different questions coming up. Base housing, billeting for the troops, medical issues, morale issues. I can't even begin to tell you the morale issues that will probably pop up over this. I think that there's going to be severe repercussions at least in the next few years. What happens after that, I'm not sure. If Senator McCain is right, you're going to have 200,000 of our warriors get out. And some people say, well, so what? Then they can't handle it. Well, and they can choose to vote with their feet. Anyway, this was my concerns on it, that everything that our politicians said, listen to the service chiefs. Well, I'm not going to listen to them if it doesn't fit into this little political football game. We're going to take a break. Carlin and the Bot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Fire Radio. Well, welcome back to Free Fire Radio. Yeah, KCNR 1460. The home of Free Fire Media, Carlin and Linda Bot at 7:25 in the morning on December 21st. Hey, gents, you done your Christmas shopping yet? I'm going to run out in a spasm of cold sweat, you know, with chest pains, going out buying things in the next day or two. Okay, hey, look, a big shout out, big congratulations to Fred Salante, Walmart, Charlie Thompson, you were in there too. The Veterans Dinner and the First Responders Dinner last night at the Vets Hall was just outstanding. I hope somebody calls in today around 8 o'clock and tells us how many people they fed. Bad Bob says he thought it was over 500.
Yeah, that was the word we got because we talked with Charlie towards the end of the event there. Mm-hmm. We got there at about 6:15 or so, and it was starting to wind down, but there were a lot of kids.
A lot of them started early.
Yeah, started early.
I know that. Yeah.
The decor and it was just a well done for a first time out of the shoot. Usually these things are herding cat specials, but this worked out pretty well.
Well, you know, they had Santa Claus was there when Santa's elf, which I'm sure you noticed. And
yeah.
They had the Corallers.
The boots.
The Corallers. Or, you know,
Carolers?
Carolers, yeah. Well, choral group, Carolers. They were singing. That was cool. I saw Trevor Denham. You know, Trevor's been back from August, and I chastised him. He's in the Coast Guard and was over in the Middle East. I chastised him because not coming by and saying hello. We've known Trevor for a long time, and he's served this country not only as a member of the Coast Guard and deploying in harm's way, but also is a policeman right here in Reading, and does a wonderful job. So a little shout out to Trevor too. Okay, it's 46 degrees. It's going to be rain, and then some more rain. This weather's always brought to you by Anselmo's. Up there yesterday, and the grounds out there, even with the rain, it's beautiful. Of course, you know, their dining facilities are inside. They still, they serve lunch and dinner, and it's not that long a trip out there. And in this type of weather, it's beautiful. It's crispy, and the food is outstanding, and the ambiance there is so good. For those who know about Anselmo's, just out to Shingletown, out towards Shingletown. It's a short drive from Palisadro. You hit that 9-mile sign that says to Shingletown, and then around the next curve, and there you are. That's in Somos Vineyards, and they're having lunch served from Tuesday through Sunday, and then dinners. Okay, Dad Bob.
Yes, sir?
The other thing we were going to get into, was besides those in this last couple of minutes, is the fact is that Democratic Northern California Assemblyman has drafted a bill that would secure funding for rural law enforcement agencies by extending that vehicle license fees. Remember, Sheriff Pasenko was in here, and he says if that VLF goes, we lose $1.5 million, and the city loses $700,000 for law enforcement. And the problem is with it, however, Jim Nielsen says, he says is that he doesn't think that they have the support to pass. He proposes tying the law enforcement funding to the state's general fund to keep Democrats from playing what he calls political football by raising vehicle licensing fees as they try to tie unnecessary expenditures to them. What he says is he sees in the committees is that, okay, we're going to do this for our law enforcement, and then we're going to raise these fees, and then they tie other things that have nothing to do with law enforcement to it. We need the fees. We need to keep that $1.5 million coming to our county and the $700,000 to the city. Now, you know, the fact is that it's got to come from someplace. And it's either other cuts are made or they've got to get together and figure out which way to do this. We'll talk to Jim about this at a later date. We've got to take a break here.
15 seconds.
Okay. Carl Lindebot, Free Fire Radio, and KCNR 1460. When we come back, our guest, Frank DeSalvo. We're going to be talking Christmas. We're going to be talking music. This is Carl Lindebot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Radio on KCNR 1460. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Good morning, 7:34 on December the 25th, Solstice Day. Hey, you got four more shopping days. I know you're saying, how can you shop on Christmas? I'm sure there's a 7-Eleven you can run down there, buy a quart of oil, you know, wrap it up and give it to the kids. Tell them it has to do with their new toy you're giving them or something. But I tell you what, if you are looking for some great gifts, you go to Mike's Music at 924 Cypress. Mike's got, not only does he have great musical gifts and instruments, they also will teach you how to play these instruments. And that's part of the deal there. Just give Mike a call at 243-3774, 243-3774. Great guys. They've been in the music business a long time. This is a good time to get your children or get yourself interested in music because they're going to do a great job for you. Okay. Our guest who has high-kicked his way into here, Frank DeSalvo. Okay, now listen to this here.
Snow is snowing, the wind is blowing, but I can't
Yeah, Frank, sounding smooth there.
That's the idea. Frank was smooth, and I'm smooth.
Well, now you you do a kind of a celebration of Frank.
And, yeah, a tribute.
Tribute.
Yeah. We go with a 16-piece orchestra, full orchestra, or we can do it with what we call the half band, and that's 7 or 8 pieces. And then we can also do a 2-man show with backup tracks. So we do a little bit of everything. But not only that, though, I play in bands. Do variety music from the 60s and the 70s and the 80s and a little bit of everything. So,
well, good. Now you've got a. I know you're on the move here next year.
Yes, we are. January 10th, we'll be heading down to the desert area, Palm Desert area, and we're going to be. Our hopes is to establish ourselves down there. We have some great contacts, and we're going to. Start doing the Sinatra Show tribute down in that area.
Well, you know, that's a great area for it because they have a lot of people down there that from the Sinatra era that are still around.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, he's kind of like almost he's ageless, his music. I mean, you know, because really good music's good music.
Yeah.
And
you know,
a lot of people down there that enjoy that.
But, Carl, even the young kids are picking up on the Sinatra style stuff right now. You watch them wearing the fedora hats and, you know, all kinds of things like that.
Well,
they're digging it.
Music's ageless.
Yeah.
And when they hear it, they like it. And it's different from what they're used to listening to. It would be great to see a resurgence in that type of music that came out of the 40s and 50s.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now you've got a big gig going, though, on January 8th, too.
We do. We're going to be up at Anselmo Vineyards for a wine party. By the way, they have a great vineyard up there, great food, and good people. And so I think that's open to the public. You could call up there and ask about tickets. Also,
474.
Yes,
5546.
There you go.
Yeah, that's going to be they're doing a new release of their wine.
Oh, that's right.
This is the new wines that have just come back, and I was fortunate enough to have to be able to sample some of those yesterday, and outstanding. And so this is going to be the introduction, of the new wine for the wines from 2010.
That'll be great.
It will be. It's going to be a great time. Plus, you'll be singing.
I'll be singing with my trio. Yeah, I have a trio that we'll be up there with. So it'll be a fun evening. Great food, great wine, and great music.
Now, when you take on, are you just going down to the Palm Springs for the weather and coming back here this spring?
We'll be back as in summer, first part of summer. So, yeah, that's our intent. And we want to establish an ongoing relationship with the people down there so that we can bop in the wintertime when it's cold up here. It's nice down there.
Yeah.
The snowbirds.
Oh, yeah. I know what you mean. Yeah. Okay. What should we be looking for besides just this with Frank DeSalvo?
Well, by the way, I will be at Tierra Oaks for New Year's Eve, which is open to the public, with my 4-piece band, Easy Street. And that's Dan Kinkle on drums, Mike Gregory on the bass, and the wonderful keyboardist James Gabriel, and arranger. He'll be there with me, and we're going to have...
James Gabriel does great jingles and things. He did Lindus on the spot.
He did Lindus.
Did a great job.
Yeah, he's very, extremely talented.
Yeah,
very,
is.
Very talented man.
Well, listen, the whole group is. Dan Kinkle and the whole group's great.
Yeah, great guys.
It
great
is.
Great guys. So, yeah, we'll have fun. But, our hopes is... actually, to use the Palm Springs area as a hub, a networking thing, because people come from all around the world to the Palm Springs area during the winter. So we hope to open up the doors and be in Vegas. We have some contacts in Vegas, L.A., and then, of course, East Coast, and wherever it takes us, Hawaii, Europe. We're just looking forward to starting a new chapter.
Oh, that's great. I know you play a big part around here, Frank, and we're going to miss you. But we're going to be able to see you again on January 8th out at Anselmo's.
Yes, yes.
Yeah,
and I'll be back during the summer, too.
Okay. All right, Frank DeSalvo, thank you very much.
Thanks, Carl, my pleasure.
Thanks for coming in. And, hey, Bob, take us out with another track there. Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Good morning. It's Carl and Linda Bott, 744 in the morning on December the 21st. Call us at 605-4567 or we're chatting at KCNR1460.com. Don't tell me I wasted my don't ask, don't tell soliloquy this morning, chatters. And I just got through saying good morning to all of you. Now, Linda is home, taking care of, you know, she's on assignment. I'm going to go through this one more time, and probably again at 8 o'clock, when our guest will be Patrick Jones.
And the coffee kicks in.
The former mayor, yeah, the former mayor will be, yeah, and then the coffee kicks in, too, is the fact that electricity in our house, because, the grandkids are coming and the kids are coming, so we have been decorating the house for 12 days. I'm not kidding you. It's been 12 days. And then so we had all these lights out. We have all of these little Santa Claus. How many trees, Bob, is in our house? How many trees are in the house?
I would guess about five or six.
Five or six trees. Now, of course, they're not all big trees and they're not real trees, but there's five or six trees and they all twinkle. And then they have all these lights, little candy canes, and we got a Santa Claus. You walk up the front door, it senses movement and it tries to molest you while it's singing. Bob, am I lying?
The little hand comes up.
The hand comes up, and you got to watch it. If you get too close to it, Santa does not care. Anyway.
Last time I saw a gesture like that, the doctor said cough.
Yeah, well, I tell you what. You know, this one lady backed up, Santa saw her, and she jumped halfway off the porch. Anyway, that takes electricity. The little twinkly lights takes electricity. The lights in the back take electricity. The alarm system. And then we plugged in a hairdryer. Okay. Needless to say, you could hear breakers popping clear across the street. And so as of now, we have lights and electricity in most of the house. We have electricity not in other parts of the house. This, you know, I guess next year I'm just going to, you know, get those heavy-duty extension cords. And I'm going to do surreptitiously through the night, crawl over the fence into my good neighbor's house, because he's got a pool out there and he's got electrical outlets. I'm going to plug things into his electrical outlets so we can run our trees.
So this is like the scene in Christmas Vacation where he plugs in the lights and blacks out the town?
Oh, I tell you what, you know, I went out there and just the sound of it going brrr is the electrical outlets. Which, you know, in fact, I got a personal handwritten note from Paul Hooser from REU that said, thank you, we're going to be able to lower the rates this year. So, anyway. You think I'm exaggerating about the Santa? I'm not. Okay. Hey, Californians. Californians, looks like they're trying to kick the cigarette habit. The percentage of California adults who smoke has continued to drop more than the national average, according to new data released Monday. That's probably because we have a much more lack of personal freedom thoughts in our leadership here in California than in other states. It says if you smoke anywhere, you're going to possibly harm a smelt, a Delta smelt. Anyway, and then so it says we are with 13.1% of the adults surveyed statewide saying they smoked in the last year, compared with 21% of adults nationwide. And if you're in Los Angeles, it's even lower. But I think it's also higher if you're up in Lake County, Tehama County, Humboldt County. Well, Humboldt County, I don't think that they're talking about cigarettes, though, are they, Bob?
Yeah, other smoking material.
It says cigarettes are just smoking stuff out there. Northern eastern parts of the states have seen less decline in smoking since 1990. Anyway, so it's a type of thing is, it's like the ammo thing. They're just going to keep making things harder and harder. Now they want to see packages on the packages, pictures of diseased lungs. This is what your lungs look like. You know, frankly, I think you should collect all those packs. Maybe you can trade them back and forth. Oh, mine's got diseased lungs. Mine's got a person dying here. Mine's got this. Again, my friends, it's a personal decision. It's a personal decision if you choose to smoke. If you choose to smoke, let it be a personal decision. Don't be coming back and asking for help from me or Bad Bob or Jimmy or Coach Bob or anything like that. Which reminds me, we have a giveaway. That's right, a Happy Meal giveaway. The ones that they're trying to legislate out, give away. Stop doing the Happy Meals because it makes your children obese. You don't make your children obese. You don't let your children become obese. It's McDonald's and Happy Meals that makes your children obese because you can't say no. You can't say no because you are a moral coward when it comes to your children. If a child doesn't want, if you don't want the child to have a Happy Meal, say, no Happy Meals. But why legislate it so I can't have my grandkids have a Happy Meal? So the first person that calls at 605-4567 will get a McDonald's certificate for a Happy Meal, provided by Jimmy and this station. 605-4567, you'll get a $5 gift certificate to McDonald's. Give us a call, and we'll have it waiting for you right here at the studio. In the meantime, we're going to take a break. KCNR 1460. The home of Free Fire Media. Carl and Linda Bott, join us after these messages. KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Carl and Linda Bott, good morning. 605-4567. We're streaming and chatting at KCNR1460.com. It is 7:53 on December 21st, and Indie Guy won the Happy Meal. That's right, Indie Guy, you win the Happy Meal. The only thing I insist on is that you take those presents and you give them to children that truly need it. Don't give them a hamburger. Just give them the presents. Tell them not to eat it. All right, things. This is our last segment here before 8 o'clock. Our guest at 8 o'clock will be Patrick Jones. He's going to be in here talking about his ideas for the future of the city. He's no longer the mayor, but he likes the idea of a charter city. And we can talk about that. We're going to, and later on we'll have people that may not agree with that. Okay, U.S. trade benefits. Valuable U.S. trade benefits for about 130 developing countries could expire at the end of the year because of Republican senators' objection to duty-free treatment for sleeping bags from Bangladesh. Alabama, you know, I love this. Alabama Senator Jeff Sessions is blocking a vote on a bill to renew this thing. GSP, and that's the Generalized System of Preferences program, provides duty free treatment for about 4,800 goods produced in developing countries to help them create jobs. Can we say sweatshops? Huh? Want to say it? I'll say it. Say people working for a buck a day to make sleeping bags? The House bill also renews trade benefits for Colombia, Peru, blah, 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 blah. I am not going to stand by and allow nations to cheat on their trade agreements, manipulate trade agreements that in effect destroys our industry. Hello, finally, finally. What do you think? Earlier this year, President Barack Obama turned down a request to end the benefit for Bangladesh. Well, does that support you? Does that surprise you? They say that supporters of Bangladesh said the country is not cheating, but only taking advantage of a provision in the program that allows poor countries to export sleeping bags to the United States without paying a 9% import duty. Sleeping bags have been in it since they determined they are not import sensitive. Sessions says this exemption is a loophole that threatens jobs that excel outdoors, a sporting goods manufacturer, a plant in his state. Well, guess what? It's true. It's true. They do make them cheaper. They're doing it. They're getting in on a loophole. Sessions says, I've got a business in my state. This is unfair competition. And who should President Obama be taking care of? Somebody from the United States or Bangladesh? Where's your priorities, President Obama? Is it the border? No. Is it fixing the economy? Most of your people have quit on it, including your chief of staff. So what does that tell you? And now, you changed over. And damn, if you just didn't fix the military, but don't ask, don't tell. But to try and protect a small company that's making sleeping bags and Alabama or Arkansas, wherever he's from, can't do that. It's more important to take care of those people from Bangladesh. And you know something? This didn't start with Obama. This has been going on for several presidents.
Lots of blame to go around.
Lots and lots of blame to go around on this. Let's just completely destroy our let's just completely destroy our industries here. Now, this is the best one. You know what? You know what drives everything?
Besides money?
Besides money. Innovation, right?
Yeah.
Innovation. So ask yourself, why is China buying up all these patents? Why are they funding a lot of this research? Because then they own it. Innovation is what's changing things. Innovation is where you go into the internet with all the media, with not just the media, but all the digital future of our country. Kids, look at them. 6 years old, they're texting. 8 years old, they're texting. They're even talking differently. Well, that's a completely different show. But if we don't push on this, if we don't do something about it, we're going to be overtaken completely. And the only thing we're going to be doing is laundry for people.
Well, you look at folks like Mark Zuckerberg, founder of Facebook. He took an idea, he was the one who made it work, and he is a billionaire many times over at the age of 27. And but he's a self-made person. He didn't make it on the backs of anybody else. He had an idea and he brought it to fruition. And for some reason, there are those who feel compelled to penalize anybody who is successful, and I don't get that.
Well, that's, you know, that's where this, hey, if you make over $250,000 a year, we're going to tax you because you had the guts, you had the tenacity, you had the vision to be successful. Well, excuse me, why should I give my money to people who have made lifestyle decisions and they're out there, you know, snorting meth, wallowing in it, having children, and they keep getting more and more money? They're not taking care of the children. Then they're taken care of by agencies. It is. It's you know, when you look at it like that, thank goodness there was some common sense in there. And he said, okay, let's just keep these tax plans the way it is, or we would have completely destroyed the economy. I guess, you know, when Linda's not here, I get a running start at some of this stuff. And she's not here to grab my elbow and go, hey, you know, we've got to save some fuel for reentry here. Anyway. Okay, we got like a minute left here. Our guest in the next hour will be Patrick Jones. He wants to talk about a charter city. We'll be able to do that. We also will probably talk about a few other things that are going up here. The vehicle tax law that they were talking about, saving, if it doesn't pass, losing $1.5 million out of the sheriff's coffers. That could be a huge, huge thing. Talked about that. We've talked about Don't Ask, Don't Tell. We've talked about Frank DeSalvo and music. This is Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Join us after the news.
You're listening to KCNR, Shasta Redding.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Carl and Linda Bott, good morning. 8:05 in the morning on December the 21st. Four more shopping days. That's if you go out to 7-Eleven and pick up that bottle of aspirin like some guys do. Of course, we got Bad Bob here.
Actually, what a friend of mine told me was very clever. You pick out a women's magazine, you gift wrap it, and say, honey, I got you a subscription.
Oh, yeah.
Then you mail in the card.
Oh, yeah. You know what? That's, yeah, but you know what? You got to watch out those magazines. They can be put places you just don't even want to know about. Okay, the other, Linda's not here because if you're just tuning in, is that after we had connected every electrical appliance that you can think of or light that you can think of that exist in the known world to make the house bright and shiny and Christmassy for the grandkids, part of the house decided that was just too much and decided to take a nap. So she's down today trying to get the electricity turned back on in her office. Let me see. Her office, one of the bathrooms, the hallway, outside back lights. Let's see what else. The little lights that go along, you know, like those little caution lights when you're walking around the house so you don't run into things. And what else? I think that's it. But it's significant enough that we have to get something done before the kids come. So that's, and Linda's on assignment. They're fighting it out with electricians and et cetera, et cetera. We want to throw a shout out again to the people that put on that dinner last night. down at the Vets Hall, Fred Salante, Walmart, you know, the Missing in America Project, the PGR people were there. I saw people from volunteers that were feeding. They fed over 500 people last night.
I saw Mojo there.
Yeah, Maurice Yonason was there. We were there early and didn't get to see everybody, but it was what a great outpouring of love for the community. And it was free. It was an outstanding dinner. They had everything going on. So it was just a great time for the people and just a great effort. Anyway, we're gonna take a quick break here, and when we come back, we're going to jump into the rest of the show. Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, home of Free Fire Media. Carl and Lindebaugh, this portion of the show brought to you by B&T Satellite, right off Airport Road. Doug Tooley and his people put in satellite TV, 244-1988. He's got rebates right now and gets you free HDTV and many, 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 many channels. That's Doug Tooley, B&T Satellite. Local guy, doing good, hires local people. You can have all the work done. He does it quickly, does it professionally. That's B&T Satellite, 244-1988. Let's go to the phones. Fred Salante, good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Carl, Linda.
I didn't think you were going to wake up. Linda's trying to get the house, get the electricity turned back on in the house, Fred. So.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I know.
What'd you do with that?
Well, you know, half of it works, half of it doesn't. This is what happens when you plug in 18,000 lights into a 1942 circuit system.
Well, you know, I thought that was going to happen last night when we had so many cookers hooked up everywhere.
So I heard it was a great night. We've been talking about it. So fed a lot of people, huh?
Well, you know, we fed about 589, not counting any of the helpers. But, you know, this is probably one of the first times I've been to an event that the people that were fighting were the ones behind it, all wanting to help and serve.
Yeah, I know.
We had people taking aprons off of everybody else trying to get in line to help out. And so what can you have wrong with an event like that, Carl?
That's right. Not one of them was a politician doing that, right?
Well, you know, that wouldn't have even bothered me. And I don't know if there was or wasn't. I was just watching the kids and St. Nicholas and people eating lots of food, and that was...
Having a great time.
That was all we needed to have, yeah.
So I would say it was a huge success.
Yeah, and I think the biggest thing that we won't be stopping there, I think I probably still have 300-400 pounds of turkey left that we'll be running around today looking for groups that we can give out and food banks and homeless, and so... Right. It'll even continue today, Carl.
You know what, Fred? You and the Missing America Project, Walmart, who else was involved with this?
Oh, CVAC, the people with decorations. Right. I can't count even the people in the community that we didn't ask for lots of stuff but brought in their own cakes and pies it was just great.
I saw people bringing in stuff last night right at dinner. So
when the community helps something that's a community event for itself, how does it go bad?
What can you say? Okay, Fred, hey, again, thank you, Missing in America, the CVAC, Charlie Thompson, the Walmart people, everybody that had anything to do with this. What a great, great Christmas celebration.
And, of course, you heard them. They said it's the first annual, so I guess I'm locked in again next year, Carl.
Well, you know, as you slowly get out of the business of burying those fallen who have never been claimed because the government should take this over and actually do something that's useful, you can get into other things like this, Fred.
Well, we say that, but if you just a second, the Department of Veterans Affairs called us with 59 veterans in New York, that the mayor's office then called us of the city of New York, and we are now friends of the city. MIAP is a Friends of the City organization, and we've got 59 veterans that we'll bury here immediately with the Dignity Memorial Funeral Group that we got, and they're looking at doing this across the nation when they find veterans, they're going to the cities and telling them to call MIAP, and we'll be doing that services. So I don't think I'm going to get out of the business too fast, Carl.
No, you won't. And it's good that you're. It's absolutely fantastic. You're into it, Fred. But let's hopefully you can get out of this at some point, and have all this taken care of.
The laws are changing, and it's going to work.
Okay, hey, Fred. Thank you so much for what you do, Fred, and for this and all the other things you do, and just have a Merry Christmas.
You bet. And same to you, and give the best to Linda, and hope you get the lights on.
Yeah, so do I. Okay, thanks.
Take care, girl.
All right, bye-bye. Hey, you know, before we get to Patrick Jones, we have somebody else. I got my days mixed up, which is not unusual.
Oh, there's a shocker.
Yeah, I know, there's a shocker. You know, I've got, you know, because we have things scheduled out weeks in advance, and sometimes not at all. Anyway, Alana Burke. Good morning, Alana.
Good morning.
Okay, you know, we brought Alana in today. I thought it was going to be tomorrow, but we're launching this one today. Is that when Linda and I started KCNR, it was community radio. That was our idea. We wanted to give a voice to the people of our community, the North State, and let people have shows. And we encourage people to have shows. And then you'll be seeing in the next week or so, we're going to be announcing another series of shows that have joined us, local shows, community shows. One of the things we also said was we want to then start, you know, besides just on the weekends, we want to start opening up the week also to shows. And so starting on January 3rd, Alana Burke's going to have an hour-long show from 12 to 1, Monday through Friday, right here on KCNR.
That's
so,
right. Everybody gets to have lunch with me.
Welcome aboard.
Some will lose their lunch and some will enjoy their lunch more, I guess, depending on the topic.
Well, we have a lot of faith in you, and this wasn't done in a vacuum.
No, it wasn't.
It was done with talking to some of our consultants that have helped us from the beginning, that have helped KCNR just do. We've done very well in the sense of getting started for this first year, thanks to our listeners. And thank you very much again, everybody out there, that you have helped us so much. Alana, what's your show going to be about?
It's pretty much going to be about five times as much trouble as the Saturday show has already been. It's an opportunity for people to check in every day. And for me, having to wait until Saturday, because there's so many things happening right now, locally, nationally, state level, culturally, technology. You know, some of it is thrilling, some of it is terrifying. But every day, everything's changing. Nothing is static anymore. So to not be able to talk about it every day with my listeners has been a little bit of a frustration for me. I've done the best I can on Saturdays, and of course we communicate by messages and emails and of course Facebook and those sorts of things. But it's going to be really fun to just jump on board every day for that 1 hour to be able to talk about all the different things that are happening, from my perspective.
Well, you know what I like about it, and we've talked about this a lot, and we've kicked this one around a lot, is the fact that it's how you're going to tie community into national.
Right.
And how that works. It's happening right here. There's, it probably started back far, far away or at the state level.
Well, I've been in California since I was 5 years old, which is, I won't tell you how long that's been, but everything that's happening nationally is happening. It's affecting every single one of us here, whether it's financially or in the real estate or politically or psychologically or emotionally. You know, I can't tell you how many people that I have spoken to here that are, they're upset, they're frustrated, they're worried, whether it's a relationship or it's economic or their job. And, you know, they talk to me, they email me, and they say, you know, what you said on the show the other day really struck me. Or sometimes they'll call in or they'll just post something on Facebook. And just recently, I responded to somebody anonymously on my Facebook, and I simply said, what you have to do right now, all of us here in Redding, all of us in California, all of us nationally, we just have to say, you got to keep your faith. You got to keep your eyes on the horizon. You know, you can't be looking down. You got to look up. And then you just stand there and you just slay one monster at a time. That's the only way that we get through a period of this in our history that is really so tumultuous, that is so difficult. And you got to have faith. And I love this country. I know we're just going to rebound. And Americans are amazing people, both here and even, across the United States, up and down, good and bad. We're all Americans, and I think that I speak to most of the middle of America.
Well, you know, for us here, bringing you on from 12 to 1, then Laura Ingram will follow you from 1 to 3. Dennis Miller is still from 9 to 12, and Michael Savage from 3 to 6. We're adding, like I said, we're adding shows over the weekend, and we're going to we'll have a press announcement on that. We'll have more of an official announcement about this and about your show. But you were coming in today, and we wanted to just make that announcement early so that you could get your planning and do the things you have to do, and for us to move forward with this too. Again, it's when community radio is just that. And this is not the only time. We're going to be also would like to see other shows that we can bring in and interspersed through the day that have local people with their opinions. And so Alana is our stalking horse here, you might say.
I'm your stalking
horse. Yeah, not too much pressure there, huh?
Well, speaking of stockings, which leads to Christmas, which you guys were talking about, the magazine or the bottle of aspirin, please, please do not get your girlfriend a hoodie footy. I've been talking about this because any commercial that says to these men, and the most fun part will be the unwrapping, and it looks like something for a 7-year-old girl, that's just wrong. So, gentlemen, if you're listening, back away from the hoodie footy. It's a bad idea.
Bad Bob, let's take ours back.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I got 2-for-1. When I gave one to Bad Bob.
Yeah, okay. For a minute there, I was going to say, wait a minute, 2-for-1. I need to talk to Linda about that.
Well, no, don't worry. I've been here about it. Anyway, Alana, thanks so much.
Thank you, Carl. It's been a great year.
It's been a good year.
Yeah.
It's been a great year. And so thank you, and we'll be seeing more of you.
Oh, yeah.
Next month.
You will.
Merry Christmas.
You too.
Let's take a break here. Carl Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Carl and Linda Bott. Linda's trying to get all the electricity back on the house. It's 45 degrees. It's going to be rainy today. It's going to be rainy tomorrow. Probably rainy the next day. How about the day after that? Yep, rain. It's going to get up to 48 degrees. Hey, the weather's, though, is brought to you by Anselmo, a great destination, a great place to go. They serve lunch and dinner. Great ambiance, super, super food. All of you have been up there know that. Tell your friends, this is a great place. Now, they're going to be serving dinner on Christmas Eve, and on New Year's Eve, they're going to be open till 1:30 in the morning. That's right, 1:30 in the morning. 474-5546, start making your reservations because it's going to be a big party up there. They're going to have a great time. Our guest, Patrick Jones.
Good morning, Carl. Good morning, Bob. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Greetings.
And speaking of Christmas, I brought a few gifts today because I know you guys really need some gifts. And for Bad Bob, I bought some, I've got you some 7.62x54R for your Mosin Nagant. I know he needed some of that ammo. And for Carl, I got you a small bag of coal.
He did. Here it is, my small bag of coal.
Well, and I had to bring you, of course, your favorite military round, 7.62x308. So now you have some new hunting rounds as well, because we're going to get
stuff I've been shooting has been kind of suspect.
We're going to get you a pig sooner or later. So
well, you know what the thing about it is going hunting with Patrick Jones is an experience. Okay, we're going to do this. So everybody gets out and gets ready, and Patrick leaves. That's it. Okay, hey, let's go out and try and find a pig. So,
I didn't fully commit to that particular hunt.
Yeah, you must use one of those political words that I didn't understand, like promise.
It happens all the time.
Okay. Hey, Patrick, welcome aboard here.
Thank you.
And,
thank you, and thank you for giving me a chance to talk about charter cities.
Yeah, this charter cities thing it's a big step forward for the community. There's, you know, during the last election, people were talking about it. There's been, of course, consternation about it too. And you know, when you first told me and we started talking about it, I mean, I'm not sold on it completely by any means. And I have some questions here, and I'm sure our listeners will have some questions.
Absolutely.
So give us just a quick down and dirty on charter cities. We'll have to take a break and we can get back into it.
Well, keep in mind that in California, there's only two types of cities. That's a charter city or a general law city. Reading is a general law city. There is well over 100, I think the number may be approaching 160 charter cities in California. And almost all your larger cities are charter cities, but a lot of smaller cities too, like Chico and Roseville. So we don't have to look too far to take a look at some local charter cities. The bottom line, why I'm here talking about charter cities, is that it essentially is an opportunity for the public, the citizens of Reading, to create their own constitution. It's a unique opportunity. It's really a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to create a constitution tailored and catered to local needs. And that's what I wanted to talk about today. And it will be by the public. And it essentially empowers the public to having more representation at City Hall. And I think that's a good thing.
Now, would the districts be broken up into so that when you're voting that you vote for a specific city councilman?
That's what the public gets to decide. And okay. Essentially, as this moves forward, if council supports the idea, 15 people, citizens, will be picked by council members, and then we will have a multitude of public meetings, enough to answer all the questions, so as long as that takes, essentially...
Open meetings
to the public, where we get public input, where the public states what they're looking for. And so if the public so wishes, they could have it broken down to districts. And I think there's some great advantages by having the districts, because this is a diverse town, and it allows a council member to represent their diverse area. It also reduces the cost per candidate running, because they're not needing to run citywide, and so you could see different people being elected that could represent their neighborhood.
They were financially challenged because they didn't have the 30,000.
Because they didn't have 30, 50, 60, 80,000, which is what we've seen in the past. I think it's a great opportunity today to look at that. But again, that is up to the public. If they want districts, it can be written into the charter, into the Constitution. If they do not, it does not. And that's how it will work. And many things will be discussed like that. And we get to build our Constitution around our local needs. And we...
So then we pick, instead of being driven by state and county laws, that you could have actually have city laws that were different than that.
Absolutely. You know, obviously, certain laws, like the Brown Act, for example, that will remain intact.
Right.
But we have a great opportunity to do things very much different than Sacramento and create our own unique constitution. It is a super idea. And I'm going to work on it in this entire year of 2011, move forward, and if council so does support the idea and picking the committee, I think it's a great opportunity for the public to have more control of what happens at City Hall.
Okay. I'm going to take a break here in a second, but there's already people throwing up opposition to this. I have some questions that we'll talk about, and I'm sure other people have questions as we move forward with this. Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Our guest is Patrick Jones, City Council. 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Carl and Linda Bot. Linda's out getting the house lights turned on again. 605-4567. We're chatting at KCNR1460.com. December the 21st, this portion of the show brought to you by Tobacco and Brew. Greatest walk-in humidor in this state. Espresso Joe's, where you can buy coffee of any kind, and they'll fix it for you in 50 different ways. Or you can buy the coffee beans or coffee-making products, and they'll show you how to use it. They are just outstanding, Joe and Shelley. Great Americans who support this community and do just a great job all around in helping the community and providing just great service when you go to their store. That's Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Our guest is City Councilman Patrick Jones, who has thrown out the proverbial skunk on the table when he said, let's go to a charter city. And, of course, a lot of questions on this. My question is, when we looked in there, you said essentially that the city council should be paid equivalent to the Shasta County Board of Supervisors.
Well, not exactly. But
well, you said something like that. Let me finish. And then they went. And then they went down and they showed how much people were making in these other cities. And I don't think there was anything close to $60,000 a year, unless it might have been like Marin County or something.
Yeah, that was not what I said.
Okay.
What I did say was that we needed a full-time city council and a full-time mayor. Now, I've just served 4 years to our community, and one of those years as mayor, so I have a pretty good idea of what that meant, and I don't think people are getting what they expect. We need a full-time mayor in this city, and that is just my opinion from serving my full year as mayor, and I truly believe that. I suspect that to have a full-time mayor, that it would need to pay more than $7,000, but it would be under the charter, under the Constitution, that would be set forth by the people. It would not be a salary approved by council.
It would be something done by the people.
The public would get a vote on that, and they would set that. And that would eliminate the issue that we saw in Bell, California, which also is a charter city, and people bring that up all the time. Totally different situation there. They had no media no scrutinizing.
Yeah, that's
very different.
It's apples and oranges.
Here we could have a commission, if you will, or just simply a vote of the people. Whatever the public wants to do, set forth in the Constitution, in the Charter, they could control that so that they have complete control and take that out of the hands of council so that it does not get out of control.
Well, let's just say that they do a salary. Let's just say $30,000.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Which I think would be probably fairly appropriate.
$30,000 for four council members and a mayor.
Well, it could be something, again, the public could decide that it could be $7,000 or $8,000 or $10,000 for a council member and $27,000 for the mayor. That's fairly similar to what you've seen in other cities.
Okay, so in other words, it's a full-time job for the mayor and the city council?
It again, under your charter,
mm-hmm.
the public can decide how they want to do that. It's up for discussion as to which way they want to go and what type of pay should match that job description. And if they want a full-time council and a full-time mayor to get that type of representation so that they can
pay for it,
they'll probably have to pay a little more than what they are today. Now, that gives the public an opportunity to vote in and vote out. Now, it also could very well, you could, as the charter is written, you could also vote on your city manager, your city attorney. And we already vote on the city clerk, bifurcated as it is, but the public would get to vote on those positions, and if they did not like the job, they would vote those people out. I think that's a very unique concept, all yet to be decided, all yet to determine if the public feels that is unique and correct for Redding, California. These are all things that will be decided by the voters.
Well, you know, okay, let's just say that, okay, that's one of the things about having a full-time city council and a mayor. Means full-time means just that. That means they come into the office every day.
Correct.
That means that they have administrative support, which means somebody answering their phones every day.
Well, it doesn't have to be.
It may not be that way, but, you know, I guess you could just have one switchboard that answers those. But then the mayor, which is going to be a decision maker because he's going to have more power than he's got now, does that mean you can use less? You need less staff in, say, the city manager's area, where he's got two assistants right now. Is he going to need those to be able to assist the mayor?
Well, the reality, Carl, is that we have a city clerk and a clerk's office that do an excellent job, and they already supply and perform the duties of that office, and they can support the entire council without any extra personnel. And we already have that function there. So the reality is, sure, it could easily get out of control in a city that would allow that, or the voters would allow that. I don't think Redding would allow that. What we're looking for is an elected official that's accountable to the people, that has more authority at City Hall. Today what you have is bureaucrats making most of your major decisions at City Hall that are not accountable to the people. And I think people are wanting a change. And I have the experience to know that that is the case.
Okay. We're going to have to take a break here. And one of the things that I agree that right now the staff has, it seems like, an inordinate amount of power, only because that they are the ones that have to do all the legwork. They're the ones that have to do all the writing, all the positions. And that I realize how this can be a problem to a part-time city council. If you're trying to run a business and trying to read 3,000 pages of documents to be able to make a decision, how sometimes the decisions that have been made in the past have been questionable.
Think about it as a corporation where you have nearly 1,000 people, and the people making those decisions are there for only a short time period.
Yeah.
I don't think that's what the public expects.
Right.
We can do better.
All right, we need to take a break. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. KCNR 1460. Carl and Linda Bott. Linda's trying to get all the electricity turned back on in one half of the house. This portion of the show brought to you by Crystal Air. Crystal Air. We're just filled with all types of factoids when it comes to geothermal. And before you go solar, go geo. By reducing the energy requirements of your heating and air conditioning system with a geo exchange system, you can actually downsize your solar requirements by 40%, saving you tens of thousands of dollars on installation of solar array. And the way that the city government's been spending money and voting on things, guess what? That's a good idea. To learn more, call Crystal Air at 530-623-1000 or go to their website at crystalair.info.
Carl, I want to know why your shirt today is more flashy than Bob. Bob has a very plain shirt on today, and you have a very, you know,
this
smooth,
is a, this
green.
This is a Christmassy shirt.
You know, I was really expecting Bob to have.
Bob usually does. And Bob is usually our fashion plate here.
I see.
But you know what? It's getting into that hibernation time, and Bob has seemed a little bit more. By the way, people, you've been chatting like crazy. I didn't see it on my computer because my computer went down, and Bob's trying to tell me, hey, there's 1,000 questions. But let's go to the phones. Hey, John, good morning.
Yes. My subject is military, accepting the gay persons.
Don't ask, don't tell? Okay.
Yes. What happens if both of them end up in the same squad? Is there apt to be some favoritism shown to the wife?
Well, I don't know. You know, I think it would be just like if you have females, because we have females integrated into the military. That what you would do is you would separate out husbands and wives do not serve together. Just a concept of husbands and wives in the Marines and being both males. I'm still trying to wrap my arms around that one, John.
So to speak. Thinking that there's trouble. Suppose you want to visit in somebody's barracks.
There's always that opportunity. There's always an opportunity for trouble. And the thing is that will there be separate barracks? Another question that has not been answered. Here we go. We have a precipitous decision made by our elected representatives, some of our elected representatives. And what happens is that now that military has to try to figure a way to make this work. And they will. But I don't know how well it will work, John.
All right. I just was wondering.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what happens. What happens if one of the new male members wants to dress in cross dress and goes out? And what if somebody says something? I mean, there's just so many thousand questions that I can't wait to see how this is going to be handled. And again, it's something brought on by our elected representatives who can't think past the end of their nose. John, thanks a lot for your phone call, though.
You're welcome.
You bet. Okay. Okay, Patrick.
One of the questions that I saw was on the website there was that would a charter city, would there be any hidden costs and that would be unforeseen? And the reality is, as we go through this year, or this next year, 2011, this is a concept of creating a constitution. And the public gets to decide a great many factors that can control the outcome of so many things that they do not have that ability to do today. It empowers the local voters of the city of Reading. And in doing so, I think you can not only not have hidden costs, but you can reduce your costs. And I think that is one of the great advantages. I also think that taking a look at Reading Electric Utility and allowing the voters to weigh in on certain aspects or all aspects of their own local utility, that also will be discussed and decisions will be made the public.
You think that Reading Electric Utility can take money out of their fund to help out right now?
I do. And, of course, as you know, the last council meeting that we had, I did not support the rate increase. That did pass 4-1. That one no vote was my no vote. And what my recommendation was is to go to our reserves this year and reduce our reserves to the appropriate amount so that we could not have any rate increases for this year. Over the course of this year, we could also look at cost-saving measures that might help us going forward and looking at next year. That, of course, did not happen.
Yeah.
But here we could allow, under a charter city, more public input, more control with their own electric utility.
Okay, what's your opinion on the downside of charter cities?
The downside is that your charter is only as good as it's written. A constitution is only as good as it's written. And it's only as good as the people that are here to support it. And so it's not a cure-all by any means. Just because you have a charter does not mean all your problems go away.
Yeah.
But a well-written constitution, just like our own constitution for the United States, one of the finest documents the world has ever seen, that's the type of document that we're looking for here in Reading, where we spend a great deal of time on it, and the public has the opportunity to weigh in on every aspect and cater that constitution. I think when you take that time, you're going to get the result that you're looking for.
Okay. All right, let's go to the phones. Bruce, good morning. You're on KCNR.
Good morning, Carl and Pat. Question on the charter city. They could be written up to do away with this prevailing wage scenarios to where, I guess right now, if you wanted to privatize like the Parks and Recs Department, to make it competitive, you would still have to demand that everybody that would bid to do this job would have to pay prevailing wage?
That is true. And under the charter, depending on what the public felt appropriate, you could end the prevailing wage that we have today. That could save Reading tens of millions of dollars. That would be discussed with the public in open meetings, and that would be written into the charter if that is what the public wanted. So you're absolutely right. It could happen.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thanks, Bruce. Hey, we got to take a break here. Bob just picked a fight in the chat room. If you've got a chance, get in there. There's a certain word that Bob used.
My work here is done.
That's got, yeah, okay. It's Carl and DeBott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Bob, don't use words like that. Join us after these messages. Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, home of Free Fire Media. I was wondering what was going on in the chat room, but I realized that my computer was down, and now it's back on fire again. This portion of the show brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop, right off Athens Avenue. DC and Tim and the Man in Black give great haircuts, great prices, and they give discounts to veterans. You go down and visit them and mention Patrick Jones's name. Of course, don't mention it while they're cutting your hair. You might have little marks in the back of your head as they're giggling. So that's Cypress Square Barbershop. Man's last stronghold, my friends. They also serve our community very well. Our guest, Patrick Jones. Patrick has introduced the idea of us becoming a charter community, which means is that we have elected mayor, an elected full-time mayor and city council. Lots of questions about it.
And it could, you know, it again, it's up to the charter. And again, a charter is the constitution for the city of Reading. And my point for being here today is to encourage the public to look into charter cities, to weigh the pros and the cons, and to see if it's right for Reading as we move forward in 2011. And it's very easy to do. You can easily go on, you know, Google charter city, and you can come up with a multitude of things. In fact, even the League of California Cities puts a pretty good composition together about a charter city and the pros and the cons. And so my job here today is to get the word out that, and I'm encouraging people to do some homework. This is going to be about the public creating their own constitution without staff involvement. This will be done by the people, for the people, for the voters of Reading. It is a great opportunity to have real control and real authority at City Hall, greater than what we have today. And I think our people here in Reading have that ability. Now, I think in other cities, a charter may not work well, but I think it would work extremely well in Reading.
Well, I tell you what, the comments coming through is good. So that, okay, after Monday, on Mondays we can vote about what's going to happen. Oh, after Carl and Linda's show. I like that part. We're going to have somebody on that will speak for the other side. I mean, I understand where this could be very helpful. But I would like to hear somebody that does oppose it. We'll try and get Dick Dickerson on. Because I know Dick is opposing this as a
I think
problem.
He would be great to have on.
Yeah, and yeah, I mean, so do I. So we'll give Dick a call and see if we can get him on and to talk about why why he thinks this is a bad idea. And he was vocal on it. So.
You know, I have faith in the voters. You know, and I think allowing the public to create their own constitution and to control things greater than what they've had in the past, you know, I'm having a hard time seeing the downsides to that. And I think it's a great opportunity, and it's worth putting my time to it and see where the public wants to take this over the course of this next year.
Is this going to call for an election then?
Yes, I think what will occur, my understanding, is that through the entire course of 2011, in open meetings by the public, for the public, venting these ideas and getting these ideas out, and if a charter can and a constitution can be finished and finalized, then that would go to the voters in the primary of 2012, and you would approve the concept and the Constitution in its entirety, either yes or no, and then in the general election of 2012, you would elect a mayor and so forth.
Okay, so but it's got to does the city council have to bring it forward, or how does it
There's a couple ways of it happening. Now, what I would like to see over the next couple months is continual talk about a charter city, getting more people involved, getting more people looking into what does this mean, a constitution for Reading, and what are the implications. And then I would like to, I will bring this before council to and if there is support from council, we will elect a 15-member citizens committee.
And they will be the ones that write the constitution?
And they will get the input and hold the meetings for the course of however long it takes.
Who writes the Constitution?
The Constitution will be written by the public and these citizens.
With a sunset clause.
Okay.
And we'll do it over the course of 2011 and have as many meetings as necessary to get all information.
But that's got to go forward with the city council.
That is the one way, and I think that is the way that I'll pursue it. There are other ways, but that is the way.
All right. Well, Patrick, just when you think that Patrick has gone away, here he comes back again. You know, the idea, I know you've talked about this before. You were talking about it months ago.
Well, you know, not
before the election.
Yeah,
now,
I wasn't the first person that started this idea, and the Charter City idea has been around for quite a long time. In fact, I know that other council members have talked about it in the past. And I think what really hit me, why I decided to move forward with this, is really this last council meeting that we had that really spoke volumes to me that we needed to do something different.
Okay, we got 2 minutes left here. Does Mr. Jones have a problem with all the decisions lately being made behind closed doors?
No, it's not about labor issues that we discuss closed doors. You know, and I wish everything could be done openly.
There have been other meetings behind closed doors that have come out, though.
Well, there has. You know, and the reality is that with labor issues, if you put them out in the open, that certain, you know, things, airing dirty laundry, if you would say, I am not opposed to having every meeting open to the public. I support that idea, and that's labor issues, too. I think you would find that if that was the case, that there wouldn't be so much, it would create certain issues.
Let me ask a quick question here. You think the Civic Center and the Rodeo Arena is going to be sold this year?
No, I do not. We will fight hard to maintain those icons for Reading, and I do not believe that will happen this year, and I hope it never happens.
Okay. Well, we were having a discussion the other day about that.
There's a lot of strong proponents. There's powers out there that would like to see other things, but I think the community will support this.
Okay. Hey, our guest has been Patrick Jones, city councilman. Patrick has, pushing this charter city idea. We're going to have we'll have opponents to this, of course, so that we can hear both sides of this. And anyway, hey, join us tomorrow. We're going to have an exciting show. Linda will be back for sure. Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio, right here on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Just remember, the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?
You're listening to KCNR Shasta Reading.